Today we're going to continue in the book of Acts, and we're almost to the end, and we're going to actually cover three chapters today, and I'm going to talk about every verse. Is that okay? No, we'd be here at about 3 o'clock if I did that, so no, we're not going to do that. We're going to actually... You don't have a train to catch? All right. I like that attitude. Now, we'll try to go through it in a timely fashion. In Acts chapter 24, Paul appears before Felix, the governor, and of course, to catch it, some of you up that might not have been here in a while, we're going through the book of Acts, and of course, Paul is being accused of preaching radical grace, and there the Jews, the religious crowds, wanting to kill him, so he's being passed from one governor to another authority to a high priest and so forth, and God recorded this for a reason, and I really sense today that he's going to touch some people that might be going through a difficult time and kind of how to get that back in perspective. Because Paul, like I say, was in prison at this time. He appears before Felix, the governor, the high priest. Ananias comes from Jerusalem and he's accusing Paul, and he's kind of like on the defense or the person that's coming against Paul. And they go back and forth, and finally Paul said this in chapter 24, verse 14. He says, "But I admit that I follow the way," and that way means Jesus Christ, "which they call it a cult." Did y'all hear that? Okay. "I worship the God of our ancestors, and I firmly believe the Jewish law and everything written in the prophets." Just recently, I think some of you were here other Sunday when I shared this, but I heard that radical grace is being called a false doctrine, and those who teach it are false prophets. Basically, they might as well say what they said about Paul, that it's a cult, right? If it's a false prophet, they're leading a cult. I'm just curious, are you okay with being called a cult by some other Christians? If you're not, you might not want to continue down this path, okay? But I'm okay with it because I know this grace has set me free from legalism. Or I'm being set free. I still have a little bit of that creep back in every now and then. How about y'all? But anyway, in verses 15 through 21, Paul then recapped the story of how he got to Jerusalem and how he tried to please the Jews. You remember the other week where we talked about He even participated in some Jewish religious things and ceremonies, trying to appease the Jews and say, "I really am not off the deep end. I'll still do some of these things with you." That didn't work either. Now, in verse 22, "At this point, Felix, who was quite familiar with the way, adjourned the hearing and said, 'Wait until Israel, the garrison commander, arrives. Then I will decide the case.' He ordered an officer to keep Paul in custody, but to give him some freedom and allow his friends to visit him and take care of his needs." Look at verse 24 through 26. "A few days later, Felix came back with his wife, Drusilla, who was Jewish. Sending for Paul, they listened as he told them about faith in Christ Jesus. He also hoped that Paul would bribe him, so he sent for him quite often and talked with him." Now I want you to notice in this whole story in the book of Acts about Paul, he had one opportunity after another to be a witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I want you to see this quote, and you can shut me down the rest of the time if you'll just get a hold of this quote. I believe God's going to help you today. "Sometimes God leaves you in an adverse situation to providentially place you in front of someone who needs Jesus." Now, I want you to think about this statement just for a moment. When we're in distress or we're uncomfortable, we're in an adverse situation that could be our making or it could not be have anything to do with us. It could be others coming against us. We usually do not have witnessing. We usually do not have, "I want to be a light in the midst of where I'm at so others can see Jesus in my life." Am I the only one? Usually witnessing is at the bottom of the pile. Do you think that's the case for Paul? Man, he's thrown from one prison to another, one beaten, and the only thing he is concerned about is how can I tell as many people as I can about the goodness of the Lord Jesus Christ until God takes me on home. Wow. How can we get to that place? Wow. Well, first of all, we can start realizing that's what God's up to. That's this point right here. If you don't realize God's working right where you are, we have a tendency to go through the what ifs, why me's, and through our own little pity parties, and I'm in them all the time. I'm not preaching to you, I'm preaching to me. Okay? We're so worried about and asking why and so forth instead of saying, you know what, God, this isn't taking God by surprise. He's right here, right now, and I'm in Him, He's in me, and He wants to do something powerful. He wants to show Himself strong in the midst of this situation. Now, verse 27. After 2 years went by. Did you catch it? They were just leaving him there in prison, but he had freedom. We'll talk about what he was doing in a moment. After 2 years went by in this way, Felix was succeeded by Festus, another governor. And because Felix wanted to gain favor with the Jewish people, he left Paul in prison. 2 years went by. What was he doing? He was witnessing to guards. He was witnessing to everybody he could. By the way, I forgot the number of prison epistles. That means the letters that Paul wrote. I've got a list of them from seminary, but I don't remember all that. But he wrote a lot of the New Testament about the New Covenant while he was in prison. But yeah, we would say, what a waste of time God would allow him in that prison. Do I hear another? What are you going through right now? What am I going through? I've had a tough couple of weeks. I'll be honest with you. I can't explain what it is. And I've gone through some pity parties, but I was preparing for this message, and I'm thinking, I went, I said, what are you doing? I thought, my goodness. Oh, what a, just flipping a switch in our little brain, what a difference it makes, right? Amen. To take those old negative thoughts, thinking God's abandoned us and God's abused us and God's left us and God doesn't care and nobody else cares, and oh my goodness, what a dead-end story. And as I was thinking about Paul writing a lot of the New Testament, he wrote, by the way, about two-thirds of the New Testament. He's the preacher of the Book of Grace, and it takes time to sit down and really hear from God and write that out. I know that because I prepare sermons. And, of course, you know my story where God has taken me back into the pool business. And when you own their own business and you're growing and you don't have enough Michaels back there to help you out, good people like him, you're constantly needing to hire people. And so it's very taxing, it's very trying, it's very time-consuming. And so I know that I have to sit down and hear from God, because it's hard to do that when you're hearing from customers and you're hearing from tractors running and trying to figure out how to put this pool in. So I know what it's like to get alone. I usually have to go to a McDonald's away from the store, away from the house, somewhere, and just sit down where I'm not bothered by customers or people, and just really take time to study and listen. Well, here Paul had that provided for him. He was in prison. Or was he? Was Felix in prison? Or was Paul in prison? It depends on how you look at it. Paul was free in Jesus Christ to write, to witness. My goodness, they had to feed him. I'm sure it wasn't like our prisons today. But the point is, Felix and Agrippa, we're going to see in just a moment, the king, they had not understood yet what Jesus had already done for them. But they were walking in prison more than Paul was. And think about that in your situation right now. There are some people that seeing you right where you are, and if you're not going through an adverse situation, just hang on, it's coming. Maybe God's preparing you right now for next week. And maybe you'll stop and say, wait a minute, God, what are you up to in this situation? Okay, let's move on. Acts chapter 25, look at verse number 1. 3 days after Festus arrived in Caesarea to take over his new responsibilities, he left for Jerusalem, where the leading priests and other Jewish leaders met him and made their accusations against Paul. They asked Festus as a favor to transfer Paul to Jerusalem, planning to ambush and kill him on the way. Folks, after 2 years, these Jews are just still waiting and like a bunch of vultures ready to pounce on old Paul and take him down. But you see, God still was in control. He still was taking care of him and so forth. Festus finally took time to hear the accusations against Paul. Now we're going to jump on up to verse 11. Here's what Paul said. He said, "If I've done something worthy of death, I don't refuse to die. But if I'm innocent, no one has a right to turn me over to these men to kill me. I appeal to Caesar." Festus conferred with his advisors and then replied, "Very well, you have appeared to Caesar, and to Caesar you will go." Now, interesting twist in verse 13. A few days later, King Agrippa arrived with his sister Bernice to pay their respects to Festus. This would be kind of like a new governor being elected, Festus being the governor, and President Obama comes down, the king in this case, President Obama comes to this governor to welcome him. That's kind of the setting here, okay? During their stay for several days, Festus discussed Paul's case with the king. "There's a prisoner here," he told him, "whose case was left for me by Felix." So he said, this is an opportunity for me. They didn't know what to do with Paul. He really hadn't done anything wrong, but yet it pleased the crowd so much they couldn't just turn him loose. So they were in a dilemma. So here Festus says, maybe I'll get a little help from the king. So he told the king, he said, the Jews, the next few verses talks about, he basically spells out what happened, and the Jews from Jerusalem wanted his head, but I pointed out that Roman law doesn't convict people without a trial and so forth. Now let's pick up in verse 18, the latter part of the verse. It says, "I decided that the accusations made against him weren't any of the crimes." This was Festus talking. "Instead, it was something about their religion and a dead man named Jesus," who Paul insists is alive. Hey, there are so many people out there that you and I meet every day that think that this Jesus is just a dead man. But yet this Jesus is the one who took care of all of that person's sins that thinks he's a dead man. He took care of all of their sins. He's made them alive already. They just don't know it. And we've got the good news to tell them. You see, there's so many people that are dead walking around us, you see, or they think they are. Now, notice the curiosity of the king in verse 22. He said, "I'd like to hear the man myself," Agrippa said. Do you see what God's doing? God is fixing to wit. Paul's getting fishing to get to preach again. And Festus replied, "You will tomorrow." So the next day, Agrippa and Bernice arrived at the auditorium with great pomp, accompanied by military officers and predominant men of the city. Do you see what he had a church already? Festus ordered that Paul be brought in. Verse 24. Then Festus said, "King Agrippa, all who are here, this is the man whose death is demanded by all the Jews, both here and in Jerusalem. But in my opinion, he has done nothing deserving death. However, since he has appealed his case to the emperor, I have decided to send him to Rome." Now remember, a few weeks ago we talked about where Jesus appeared to Paul and said, "You don't worry, Paul, they can't kill you here in Jerusalem because you're going to end up in Rome." You remember that prophecy? That's exactly, see, God was just reinforcing to Paul and to those around him, he's going to end up in Rome. Now, Festus continued in verse 26. "But what shall I write the emperor? For there is no clear charge against him. So I have brought him before you all of you, and especially you, King Agrippa, that after we examine him, I might have something to write." He didn't even know how to send him to the emperor. Verse 27, "For it makes no sense to send a prisoner to the emperor without specifying the charges against him." You see, God clouded the situation. And the whole time, though, God was interested in telling these people that were so ignorant, God was interested in speaking through Paul the good news of Jesus Christ. So he has a chance now to witness to the king and to all of his entourage and all of his guards and so forth. And it appears that Paul was in prison, but technically he was the free man. Do you see? He wasn't living and looking and walking by his outward circumstances. He was walking in the reality that I'm a child of the King, and that nothing that touches my life, you see, does not surprise God, that God is not right here and got a plan in it. You see, that's freedom. That way, nobody and what they do to you or say about you can put you in prison without your permission.
Right.
Put that in your pipe and smoke it. All right? Wow. See, man looks at the outside circumstances, but God looks at the heart of the matter. Did you get that? You say, preacher, well, what is the heart of the matter? You know, there are people like King Agrippa who seems to have it all together. They have the position, they have the power, they have the everything seemingly going their way, but yet, my friends, deep down, there's something missing on the inside. How many superstars and millionaires, you know, have committed suicide and divorce after divorce and on and on. You know, their lives are just constantly in turmoil, but yet they seem to have it all together. And we're down here, you know, barely making ends meet sometimes and seemingly struggling through life. But yet we've got the person of Jesus Christ, the understanding of who we are in Him. And friend, that's where freedom comes. It's not in what's going on around you. Now in verse 26, Agrippa asked Paul to give his story. He basically says, witness to me, Paul. He didn't realize that's what he was doing, but that's what he was doing. So Paul gives his history about his Jewish faith, and you see his testimony told about his past. This is a hint, by the way, when you say, I just don't know how to talk to people. He said, just be honest. Just tell them about your past. I used to think that my relationship with God had to do with me straightening up my act. Have you ever thought that? You see how I'm trying to get you to talk to people? And myself, I don't get it just either. I used to think it was all about what I did that made God happy with me. And I tell you, I bet you probably think that too, don't you? You see, that's what Paul was doing. He said, man, I used to persecute those crazy Christians. So he talked about his past. Then he tells about his conversion. Okay? So you can talk about your past. But then I realized one day, this in Paul's case, it was a blinding light on the road to Damascus. Yours might have been in a church. It might have been somebody talking to you. And you said, you know, somebody told me about this Jesus and the truth about Him, that He went to the cross to pay my sins, to live the Christian life for me that I thought I had to live. You see, that's what they're thinking. They think it's all about behavior modification. Well, I'm not going to become a Christian because I got to give up drinking, I got to give up smoking, and I got to get with hanging around with those who do. You see? It's not about behavior modification. It's about what Jesus has done and already for them. So in verse 12, he said, I was minding my own business and on the road to Damascus, and a blinding light came. And then he told the king, look at verse 14 and 15. He said, this is what Jesus said to him, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? It is useless for you to fight against my will. That's a good word. Some of y'all are struggling and fighting and fuming and why ain't things changing and so forth, and when the whole time God says, just relax, I've got this. Who are you, Lord, I ask? And the Lord replied, I am Jesus, the one you're persecuting. Now get to your feet. That's another moment when you get this. Now get to your feet, for I've appeared to you to appoint you as my servant and witness. Tell people what you've seen. That's your testimony. And tell them what I will show you in the future. Many will say, well, I don't know what to say to people. Well, just tell people what you've seen. Tell them that I'll show you in the future. I'll tell you about my past. I don't know what all God's got in store for me in the future. But God does, but it's glorious. But let me tell you what Jesus has already done for you. Let me tell you that He's already forgiven you of every sin. You think God's mad at you when you sin, don't you? And blow it. He's not mad at you. He's already taken that sin away. He's already chosen to forget it and to cast it into the depths of the sea. And He's not mad at you. Will you, by faith, just believe this, you see? As Paul continued to share with the king, now we're back in Acts 26, verse 17. He said, "And I will rescue you from both your own people and the Gentiles. Yes, I am sending you to the Gentiles to open their eyes so that they may turn from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God." Basically, will you listen that you're in the light? You don't have to keep walking in darkness, not understanding who you are in Christ, you see. They will receive forgiveness. He's already forgiven them, but they hadn't received it. They hadn't understood it yet, you see. They will receive forgiveness for their sins and be given a place among God's people who are set apart by faith in me. He said, "And so, King Agrippa, I obeyed that vision from heaven." Paul was basically telling him, God called me to preach his gospel, and that's what I'm choosing to do. He said, "I've preached this message from Damascus to Jerusalem to Gentiles and to everyone I meet." He said, "But the Jews have arrested me." That's basically what he said. Now let's look at verse 22 and 23. "But God has protected me right up to this present time, so I can testify to everyone from the least to the greatest. I teach nothing except what the prophets and Moses said would happen, that the Messiah would suffer and be the first to rise from the dead, and in this way announce God's light to the Jews and Gentiles alike." Paul was just pouring Jesus on those people. In verse 24, "And suddenly Festus shouted, 'Paul, you are insane. Too much study has made you crazy.'" Hey, you keep preaching radical grace, they're going to tell you that you are crazy. "But Paul replied, 'I'm not insane, most excellent Festus. What I am saying is the sober truth.'" Verse 26, "And King Agrippa knows about these things. I speak boldly, for I am sure these things are all familiar to him, for they were not done in a corner." In other words, they were done out in open. "King Agrippa, do you believe the prophets? I know you do." As a salesman knows, and by the way, we're not salesmen. I know I preached a message one time about how we're supposed to try to sell Jesus to people like I sell a product. You know, after you give the benefits of the product, then you ask for the sale. Right? Okay. Paul was kind of asking for the sale here. He said, "Do you believe this?" You know, when your witness is, I'm not saying you need to take the same approach, by the way. Just simply open your mouth and say, "Lord, speak through me." He'll give you the words to say. It isn't your job to convince somebody to be saved. I'll share about that in just a second. But he said, "Do you believe the prophets? I know you do." Verse 28, Agrippa interrupted him. "Do you think you can persuade me to become a Christian so quickly?" I love the old King James. The New King James says, "You almost persuaded me to become a Christian." Verse 29, Paul replied, "Whether quickly or not, I pray to God that both you and everyone here in this audience might become the same as I am, except for these chains." I love that. He said, "I'm praying that every one of you, the guards, you King Agrippa, the servants, those that are washing the floor, those that are in the outside just hearing Paul speak," he said, "I pray that all of you will listen to how much God loves you and become a Christian. But I pray you don't have to do it and stay in chains." Okay? See, Paul, I'm not saying that when you've got a sickness, you've got an adverse situation, you've got a bad deal going on around you, that you're supposed to just act like nothing ever happened. Paul said, "Hey, I'd just soon not be in these chains. I'd just soon to be in my Cadillac or my car or my chariot with mag wheels on it, riding around, witnessing as I choose to." But you see, the difference is there was an underlying joy. There was an underlying peace that passes all understanding. That he said, even though I'm in chains right now, seemingly, I'm in this prison, I'm not in this prison. Because I know God's got me right where he wants me, because he wants me to share. And by the way, if you ever had some preacher put you under some kind of guilt trip, saying, "You know what, if you don't share and you're not obedient, you could be responsible for sending somebody to hell." I'd come to the altar after that kind of sermon. I'd commit. I'd ask for forgiveness first. Then I commit to try harder. I said, Lord, I'm going to witness to whoever I see. How long did that last? You see, guilt will not, it might change your behavior for a moment, but it's not lasting. Folks, it's not our job to save anybody. Look at this quote. It's not our job to save, just to share. Just to share. And if you don't share, they're not going to end up in hell because you didn't share. God's bigger than that. He'll take care of them. He'll get the word to them somehow. Okay? King Agrippa may have believed later. I've heard a sermon one time talking about King Agrippa and how he was almost a Christian and how many people are in hell right now because they almost believed. You see, he could have believed later. We don't know the whole story. But Paul's job was simply to plant the seed, right? Look at verse 30 through 32. Then the king, the governor, Bernice, and all the others stood and left. And they went out, they talked it over and agreed. This man hasn't done anything to deserve death or imprisonment. And Agrippa said to Festus, he could have been set free if he hadn't appealed to Caesar. So in other words, if he hadn't appealed to Caesar, we probably would have turned him loose. I doubt they would have. I doubt it, don't you? They say that now, but see, they didn't know what to do with Paul. Sometimes ask that. Since people ask that about y'all, I know they do. Dan back there. No, I'm just kidding. We don't know what to do with Dan. We don't know what to do with you guys. Y'all are so crazy about Jesus Christ. We just don't know what to do with you. Wow. I have a few, couple of discussion questions, but before I hand them out, I just want you to really grasp the concept of understanding. First of all, it's not your job to save anybody. Oh, if Paul had just spoken a little more eloquently, if he'd just told a little bit more, old Agrippa might have become a Christian. No, that's not the message here. Just follow the heart of the Lord. But in the midst of following, you realize that in your adversities, in your difficulties, in your trying times, that God has got a bigger plan in mind than what you see going on around you. That bigger plan is He wants His light to shine to those people that might be the one persecuting you. Wow. Paul was pouring his heart out to everybody he could, and they're the ones that were putting him in prison. I just don't know. I pray I could do that one day. I ain't going to say I would, but I pray I would. So, but anyway, maybe God will open some doors and opportunities for you. Can I get a few of y'all to help me? All right. Number one just talks about, have you ever had an adverse situation and you've missed opportunities possibly for being a witness in the midst of that because we were so consumed with what was going on? I had to say yes to that, I'm sure. Anybody got anything to say about that? Number one, nobody wants to fess up.
Okay, I feel... that I wanted to be, as a witness, somebody big. You know, like, oh, I've been through so much, and now I'm this, and I'm going to be Joyce Meyer, and, you know. But then I go, I'm out with my mom almost every day at Cottage Landing, and I do devotion there Thursday, Friday, and Saturday morning. And I go, I really feel good about this. And it's like, whatever is right in front of me, I realize that, you know, the smallest thing is a witness.
That's right.
So I have this wonderful opportunity right in front of me that God has given me, and I'm not being grateful for that. Well, I am grateful. Right. I am grateful. I don't have to be grateful. I am grateful.
Right, man.
And I feel like that, like Mother Teresa said, somebody asked her one time, what can we do? And she said, look down, look at your feet, and you do what you can, and love Jesus. And I just have to share this yesterday. I shared it with the table. Mama's come alive all of a sudden. She's like woke up yesterday, and she saw me in tears. And she said, Susie, what's wrong with you? And I said, Mom, I'm troubled. And she said, I love you. And I said, thank you, Mom. And she said, when I see you, I see Jesus.
Oh, wow. Wow. Yeah, I think, you know, the Great Commission, my Baptist background, we were all about the Great Commission, you know, Matthew 28, 19, 20. And I think in the Greek it says, as you are going. It's like what she was talking about. It's not necessarily, maybe it is to Africa on a mission trip or Poland and Honduras. I'm naming some places I've been on mission trips. Not boasting, but just say I've done that. But it may be to your family. It may be to the nursing home. It may be wherever, your workplace. It may be to the doctor. You know, you're going through a difficult time, and that's kind of come home to me lately. You know, maybe God's placing us right there in front of those nurses and doctors to be an encouragement to them. You know, not that you, I'm not talking about this fake it thing. Well, I got to be happy and Jesus has healed me. And I'm not, don't go off the deep end crazy. Just be real. Just be real. Yeah, I'm concerned, but yet, you know, I know I've got a peace that passes all understanding. People can read through that claim it, name it, fake it, make it, that kind of stuff. Just be real. Be real right in front of people, okay? And you can't fake that. How do you want good outcome or good results in that area? Keep focusing on how much you're loved and forgiven by God, and it'll just kind of begin to flow. You just can't help it, right? Okay. How will this message prepare you for walking in Christ's light regardless of the circumstances around you? Did it do anything for you? I'm going to go home under condemnation if y'all don't act like y'all got something from the sermon. No, I'm not, actually. I prepared and did the best I knew how, so I'm not going to walk in condemnation.
Just got to keep your eyes on Jesus.
Got to keep your eyes on Jesus, she said.
And it reminds us of what we already, you know, sometimes you know it up here, it's swirling around you, but how do you bring it down and hold on to it during those difficult times? And that passage, I dare say, all of us will have occasion in the next week or couple of weeks to refer back to that message, to go find it in our Bible when we need to be to walk a little in a little more surety during the difficult times.
Amen. It's easy to high-five God today, but what about tomorrow, right? In the midst of the circumstance.
One thing that's helpful to me is your message and pointing out Paul, because when we ourselves see an example, it helps us to be an example too. And I think that's the whole purpose of the Bible, really, is to help us have strength and to help us have wisdom and to see it through the people in the Bible, most especially Jesus going to the cross. And the strength that it took him, what a witness that is for the world, even. Because that had to have been the most difficult, the most tremendous. I don't even have the word for how horrendous it must have been for him. And him knowing ahead of time. You know, sometimes we fall into trouble without warning, but if we knew it was coming, you know, we might have been at such unrest, it would have made it worse. But he did it with such grace and such love. And I love that you have that quote printed, because I'm going to cut it out and maybe print it some more and put it at different places in my house as a reminder. Because it's every single person. And that's what I'm training myself to remember. It's every single person, believer or non-believer, because we've got to lift each other up.
Right.
We've got to remind each other, just like Pastor Carlton did today, reminding us about that message.
Would you read that quote?
Yes. I put it in a smaller version. In every situation, there is an opportunity.
Right.
In every situation, there is an opportunity. Sometimes God leaves you in an adverse situation to a providential place. to place you in front of someone who needs Jesus.